Everyone has a horror story. Some epic tale of failure and struggle, or so they say. But who are they? Why do they get any say in how you create your story? Why would they wage such intentions of fear your way? Fear, sometimes it's a very helpful thing, keeping us from harm when we are confronted within our safety and well-being. We internalize it, sometimes even institutionalize it, and often canonize it. Many times it's an inner voice and barrier that keeps us stuck. It keeps us from aligning with what we want to be and becoming who we are at our core, our essence. Of all the liars in the world, sometimes the worst are our own fears. Fear is like that ugly monster under our beds. Just like those monsters we thought existed when we were kids, fear is only real if we believe it's real. Just like that monster, fear is nothing more than a thought we choose to believe. Fear only exists if we choose to perceive it. A thought is only a thing if we think it. There is no physical manifestation of fear. It's entirely created in our thoughts. The only real manifestation of it, our reaction to it. If we don't think fear and label it as such, it disappears. But if we engage the monster, look out. It becomes anxiety.
Aw, give me a break.
Anxiety is a feeling of fear, dread, and uneasiness. Sometimes it might cause you to sweat, feel restless and tense, and have a rapid heartbeat. It can be a normal reaction to stress. Although more accurately, a false sensation in the amygdala region of our brain in reaction to something we perceive as a threat, it can often feel very real. American psychologist Carl Augustus Menninger said, "Fears are educated into us and can, if we wish, be educated out." And went on to add, "What is done to children is done to society." But what factors assist us in developing a healthy sense of self that is resistant to choosing fear? Are some people naturally more resistant to the urge of engaging fear-based responses? Enter the locust of control, that pesky little bug that allows us to be self-aware and regulate our behaviors. Locus of control refers to degree which an individual feels a sense of urgency in regard to his or her life. Someone with an internal locus of control will believe that the things that happen to them are greatly influenced by their own abilities, actions, or mistakes. The person with an external sense of locus of control tends to feel that other forces, such as random chance, environmental factors, or actions of others, are more responsible for the events that occur in their lives. Many people believe that the locus of control is something you're born with, an innate part of our personality. But personality isn't something that's permanent. We change and evolve throughout life. However, evidence suggests that parents can play a major role in how their child develops a locus of control. But as parents, how do we achieve this? By encouraging our child's independence and teaching them associations with consequence, which results in a better developed internal locus of control. Notice when you are self-victimizing or blaming others for your troubles or negative feelings. Even if it's true, try not to wallow in self-pity. Focus on the parts of the problem that are within your control, letting go of the rest, including the reaction of others. This leads us to the idea of self-efficacy, or one's belief that they are able, or not able, to accomplish tasks and achieve their goals. Though people with high self-efficacy also typically have a more internal locus of control. The two measures are not perfectly correlated. Someone, for example, may feel like they have the power to influence their own health, while simultaneously feeling like they lack certain skills, such as cooking healthy meals, improving their health. High internal locus of control, low self-efficacy. You might find yourself asking, does self-efficacy and locus of self-control change over time? Some research has suggested that one's self-efficacy can be improved with practice, yet locus of self-control is less easily influenced. There is some evidence, however, that one's locus of self-control may naturally change with age. What factors affect self-efficacy, and how do we become more aware of our abilities? People with high self-efficacy also tend to have high self-sufficiency, an essential aspect of well-being. Their self-esteem high, feeling secure and content with themselves, and not overly concerned with other people's opinions of them. People with strong efficacy are more resilient and less likely to be destabilized by negative life events. Their locus of control, more likely to be internal than external. Exercising agency. That capacity, condition, or state of acting, owning our power. It is well within our own power to form a more balanced and healthy relationship to fear. Just like building the other relationships in life, fear is about how we communicate within ourselves. So what are your thoughts speaking to you? By effectively questioning the situations we are faced with a very pointedly logical approach, ask yourself, is this threat real? Will I allow it to govern my decisions and prevent me from moving towards a potential outcome that would be beneficial? But are we creating a disaster that simply isn't there? We hear it all the time.
Oh, no!
Oh, no. This is a catastrophe just waiting to happen. When recognizing catastrophic thinking, you may ask, does my mind automatically jump to the worst-case scenario when things appear to be going wrong? This is known as catastrophic thinking. A state where our minds imagine and create worst-case scenarios based on either real or perceived threats in our present situation. Overcoming the urge to act in desperation is the key to developing a balanced and healthy mindset. Catastrophic thinking is a problem for lots of people. It is particularly common among those who experience high levels of anxiety, which often leads them to imagine the worst is happening. Often people tend to magnify the negatives and minimize the positives about a situation. Always, always be grateful for the good in life. But why does this type of thinking always seem to happen? This is often based on generational patterning in our upbringing. For instance, if a person had a parent who was always very anxious and had a negative outlook on the future, this could go on to affect their own outlook on life. It's often mirrored in the language we select, in the way we view the events and situations around us. Think about sayings such as, this will never work. This is about to go horribly wrong. Even something as simply as, Mondays are the worst. Or, we only learn from our failures. Those thought patterns stick. They become the thoughts we believe to be true. Catastrophic thinking happens. When we mistakenly imagine the worst possible scenario or outcome, and prepare for it, or when that doesn't happen. Mental health problems such as anxiety and depression can also alter your perception of the predicted outcome of a situation. While being prepared can be a good thing, the problem comes when those thoughts spiral or regularly become overwhelmed. They start to affect your daily life. So what can you do to help reduce this kind of negative thinking while improving your mindset? Being aware of catastrophic thinking can help you when you're putting steps in place to manage it going forward. When you find yourself having a catastrophic thought, ask yourself three simple questions. What is the worst that can happen? What is the best thing that could happen? What is the most likely thing that will happen? By answering these three questions, you can help shift your thinking as you build up a more balanced view of the particular situation. Our fears are, at their core, simply an over-rationalized response to how we perceive the situations we are regularly faced with. Ruminating and overthinking are not our friend. They are never helpful. We become more aware simply by writing things down and seeing things more clearly or objectively. By having things in writing, you may begin to see patterns in your thinking or behavior. We can also see clear courses of action when we approach potential difficulty in life. By writing our thoughts and organizing the steps or actions needed, we create effective strategies for efficiently managing balanced and healthy outcomes, leading us toward our goals without creating unnecessary roadblocks in our thinking. When you're feeling particularly overwhelmed, it can be a good idea to distract yourself for a few minutes. The antidote is to try to be more present and live in the moment. The power of now. What can I realistically do to accomplish the objective in front of me? Catastrophizing happens when we live in the future and we try to anticipate what might happen. Meditation is the best technique I know for managing our minds. Since these behaviors are often patterned and conditioned, it's essential we create a means to disrupt the routine and realign. Release the struggle to meditate. Try to catch yourself as you start to catastrophize, bringing your focus onto your breathing, taking some deep and slow breaths. This can help to slow your thoughts. Focus your awareness on how your thoughts are beginning to overpower your ability to rationally and logically view your situation. Then confidently take action. You are fearless if you choose to be. The choice is yours. To find out more about empowering your fearless self, becoming all that you can be, sign up at www.thelightinside.us to join our mailing list, staying connected so you can learn more about discovering your light inside.